Let's pray. Give us ears, O God, to hear your word beyond our own expectations. Let your Holy Spirit infuse us with insight as we read and interpret your scripture. Well, today begins the Christian season of Advent. It's actually New Year's Day in the liturgical calendar, since it starts the new cycle of the church year. People in the Reformed tradition, and that's us, and actually generations before that, have observed the cycle of the Christian year, and for a very good reason. If we are faithful and disciplined about observing the seasons of the church year, we will have walked through the major portions of Jesus' life and teaching, and also of the church. We have a long season of the church called Pentecost, which begins in May and continues through November. And if we observe that in a regular and disciplined way, we will have an opportunity to once again annually to remember the events of Jesus' life and also the early history and life of the church. So, a new cycle begins with this Sunday. I would not be wrong to say, Happy New Year, Christians. Advent is the first season in this cycle. It lasts for 4 weeks. Already around you, the world is telling you that we are in the Christmas season. And that may be true for the secular world, but for us as Christian people of faith, we are not yet in the Christmas season. We are in the season of Advent, which is a season of preparation. It's given to us to prepare not only our homes and our attention to our relationships, but also to prepare ourselves in our hearts and our minds for the celebration of the Lord's birthday, Jesus, who entered into human history as a human being. Whose birthday is it anyway? From the amount of buying and wrapping and planning and such, one might think that it was anybody's birthday except the one who's coming into the world to share our human life and reconcile us to our Creator. For us, as people who follow Jesus, every gift given, every warm greeting, every card sent, every charity that is supported, and everyone that we greet with a smile, as people of faith, we do that as a remembrance of the one who came to us as a gift, our Lord Jesus Christ. The theme of Advent is preparation and waiting. We prepare ourselves to properly observe the time when God incarnate in the flesh of Jesus Christ came into human history. The word Advent comes from a Latin word that means a coming. We celebrate a birthday, a coming into the world. And as we also prepare ourselves in anticipation of his return again at the close of history. Today's scripture is not about shepherds and wise men. It's about the return of Jesus to close history. And that is the second of two major themes of Advent: preparation to celebrate his coming among us and anticipation of his coming again. We don't hear as much in mainline churches about that second theme these days, but the early church considered this very important, and versions of this theme are contained in Matthew, Mark, and Luke. The fact that it's contained in three out of our four Gospels tells us that the early church, who was tasked with decide what to record and what to preserve, that they thought that the theme of his coming again was very important, and that they expected Jesus' return to be imminent. We will be visiting this again later in Advent as we look at Matthew's version of this same theme. But today, we're going to see what Mark had to say about the end times. This passage in Mark was not given to unbelievers. It was given to followers of Jesus, and it was actually given in response to a question that his disciples ask. They said, when are you coming again? When will you bring history to a close? When will your kingdom in its final form, its final victorious form, when will that be? And here's what Jesus had to say. Now let's listen to today's scripture from Mark 13. Then they will see the Son of Man coming in clouds in great power and glory. Then he will send out the angels and gather the elect from the four winds, from the ends of the earth to the ends of heaven. But about that day or hour, no one knows, neither the angels in heaven nor the Son, but only the Father. Beware, keep alert, for you do not know when that time will come. It's like a man going on a journey when he leaves home and puts his slaves in charge, each with his work, and commands the doorkeeper to be on the watch. Therefore, keep awake, for you do not know when the master of the house will come, in the evening or at midnight or at cockcrow or at dawn, or else he may find you asleep when he comes suddenly. And what I say to you, I say to all, keep awake. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Be ready, Jesus says. Keep awake. The early church expected Jesus to return very soon after his ascension, any day now. And so strong was this belief that for the first 100 years in the church's history, one member of each congregation was assigned the task of staying awake all night, in case the Lord should return before morning. It would not do to have him return and find everybody sleeping. So a member of the congregation stayed awake to be able to alert everyone in case Jesus should appear, so that he might be welcomed properly. Obviously, their timetable was not the same as God's, and ours often is not either. We cannot second guess God. But regardless, we live on the brink of eternity. We live on the brink of eternity. We live in between times, between the time when God first appeared in human form as Jesus of Nazareth, and the end times when he shall come again as the Lord Jesus Christ in final victory. And we live now in an in-between time. Often, it's difficult to really believe that all of history is finally held in the hands of God. Things seem so messed up right now. We forget that things have always been messed up. Has anyone been watching the Ken Burns' latest historic series on the American Revolutionary War? It's 8 episodes about our founding, and I highly recommend it. You can stream it on West Virginia PBS. I had no real idea of those days. It just seemed as though what we were taught was that things just moved along smoothly without a whole lot of trouble, and bang, suddenly we were just a unified country. Not so. Things have always been messed up. Our faith ensures us that the past and the present and the future are all held in God's hands, and that we can count on that even when things seem hopeless or impossible or tragic, and life, ours, and the life of the world doesn't unfold the way that we would like. We affirm that. And we will affirm it again next week when we celebrate the Lord's Supper. We say at that time, as part of our celebration, we say, Christ has died, Christ has risen, and Christ will come again. Say it with me now. Christ has died, Christ has risen, and Christ will come again. You know, I have to confess that for most of my life, I have never been quite ready. I don't know if anybody else can identify with this or not, but I've never been getting ready for a trip that I didn't say, oh, if I just had one more day to get ready. Did you know what I'm talking about? And if you come to my house for dinner, don't come early, because if you do, you'll be given a job. I had a wonderful piano teacher when I was growing up, whom I greatly admired, but I never felt like I was quite prepared for my piano lessons. Never quite prepared. And organ lessons in college were even worse. And my worst nightmare in college was French class. For years, I had dreams of going into French class, and there would be a quiz that I had not known about, or a test that I had forgotten about, or something that I had not quite prepared for, and I was in deep trouble. Not quite ready, even in my dreams. Today's scripture from Mark says, be ready, stay awake. What does that mean? Years ago, somebody gave me a t-shirt, and on the front it said, Jesus is coming. And on the back it said, look busy. So what if the Lord Jesus should return in our lifetime? We don't know that he will, and we don't know that he won't. But Jesus tells us that we are to live as those who are prepared, who are ready, those who are expecting him. What would it look like? I haven't a clue. I don't really know. But years ago, I asked members of a class I was teaching, I said, what would happen if you had absolute assurance that Jesus was going to return before our class met again next week? How would it affect the way that you spent this week? Well, we all agreed that we would probably eat off paper plates so that we wouldn't have to spend time washing dishes, and maybe we would not bother with changing bed linen that week. But what about our spiritual preparation as we got ready to welcome him back? That's one of the things that Advent is about. What would we pay attention to in the week before Jesus returned? Here's some thoughts that occurred to me as preparation for his return. I would want to be certain that in my own heart, that my heart was clear, that I had forgiven everything in my life that needed to be forgiven, and I've asked for forgiveness where I needed to. I would want to be reconciled with whoever in my life would be reconciled with me. You see, the thing about reconciliation is, we can clear our own hearts. We can offer it. We have no guarantee that the one to whom we are offering it will receive it or will accept it. But that is out of our hands. What we are required to do is have clear hearts ourselves and to offer that as a possibility and to keep offering it again and again and again, whether it's received, whether it's accepted. So I would want to be certain that everybody I needed to forgive had been forgiven deep in my heart, and that I had attempted reconciliation where it was possible and where it was needed. My grandmother Jarvis lived to be 96 years old. She was bedridden for the last 7 years of her life. Now, she was strong-willed, and she was sometimes a difficult person. But the one thing that she said near the end of her life that I remembered was, she said, I don't have any ill will in my heart for anybody. There's nobody that I don't like. There's nobody that I hate. She was free, wasn't she? Wouldn't we all like to be free in that way, especially if we knew the Lord Jesus was returning soon? And we don't know that he won't be. We're to be ready. And what about our church? How would we like the Lord to find our church if he were to come and close history imminently? I would hope for our church that we would be found still active and caring and at least as concerned for those outside our congregation as we are for those who are within it. And I would like him to find us as being good stewards of everything with which we have been entrusted, our building, the way we handle the money that's part of our mission. I would want him to find us good stewards of the community where we have been planted and the precious souls that have been placed in the care of our congregation. I would want him to find a church moving toward greater spiritual depth. I would like him to find us a praying church, a worshiping church, a missional church. Wouldn't it be wonderful if all Christians lived as though they were ready? It would be a different world, wouldn't it? But our scripture this morning reminds us that this is exactly how we are to live, as those who are ready, as those who are prepared. So, Advent reminds us that the Lord Jesus has said that he will return, whether it is to close human history or whether it is to close our personal history. He has said that he will return for us, and he will. Let's pray. We thank you, Lord Jesus, that you came among us as a human being, God Almighty, come down in human form to walk this earth with us and to share this human life. We thank you that you have promised us that history will one day come to a close and that your kingdom will be established in its final triumph. We know that your promises are reliable. We thank you that should we not live that long, should our personal histories come to a close, that you will also come to gather us unto yourself so that where you are, there we may be also. May this Advent season be a time where we prepare not only on the outside, but also on the inside. It's in your name, Jesus, that we pray. Amen. Let's stand and sing together.